He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Tuesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for The Triad. And while the Denver Nuggets were being crowned NBA champs last night, I was reminded of just how moving these post-game celebrations can be for championships. Just seeing a bunch of grown men in tears at achieving their lifelong dreams, of childhood dreams. Coaches who are as old as 50, 60, close to 70 years old in tears. These sculpted, large, gladiator-esque men, 6'8", 7 feet tall, emotional as well. It's moving. It's special, it's moving, and it's also a reminder of how inspiring sports can be in general, especially for those who compete. Let's flash back to 2019. Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper just enjoyed a historic regular season, but then was swept in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, if memory serves, by the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was perhaps the greatest postseason shock in hockey history. And in the aftermath of it, he was following another story. He was reminded of a story from about a month before his team lost, and that was the story of the Virginia basketball team, who had just been bounced a year prior by a 16 seed in Charlotte, UMBC, and about a month before Tampa had their historic collapse in the playoffs, the Wahoos won the national title. They cut down nets. So all throughout that next hockey season, Coach Cooper used the Cavaliers as an inspiration for his hockey team. And what happened the following year? Tampa Bay was drinking out of Lord Stanley's cup. And in the locker room, as Coach John Cooper was being doused with champagne, he was spotted wearing the V of Virginia, a hat, a Virginia Cavaliers hat. If I'm Carolina Hurricanes coach Rod Brindamore, I'd invest in a Denver Nuggets hat now, or maybe a shirt like the one I have on right here, because the Canes should be inspired by what Denver just achieved. There are a lot of similarities, WD, between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Denver Nuggets when you really start to dive into those details. They really do seem similar. Both organizations have been doing the right things for years. The Carolina Hurricanes just won their third straight title. They have made the postseason five straight times. This year was the Denver Nuggets' fifth consecutive year of making the playoffs. They've finished top three in the Western Conference four of the last 5 years. But until this year, Denver had not broken through. Denver had not made it to an NBA Finals. And this is the part that might sound a little familiar. The reason why they hadn't done it was because, largely, injuries. Injuries to core players, like Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. dealing with his back, which he's had issues with going back to his days at Missouri. Meanwhile, the Carolina Hurricanes, they made it to the Conference Finals, but they were missing Andrei Svechnikov. They were missing Max Pacioretty. They were missing Teuvo Teravainen for a series and a half. Denver could have blown it up. They could have. They could have done it after Michael Malone's third year when they lost in game 82 and didn't make the playoffs. They could have done it last year when they had a great year and were bounced in round one of the playoffs, a couple of years after going to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. But rather than changing course, they believed in what they were doing, and they continued down that path. They brought everybody back, and they were rewarded for that patience and for that resilience and for that persistence with the title. Here was Michael Malone on ESPN talking about that persistence.
My third year, we lost to Minnesota in game 82, and we did not make the playoffs.
I think 90% of owners probably would have made a change that year. Said, you know what, 3 years, we won 46 games. That's not good enough. But the Kroenke family had the wisdom and the patience to take a big-time, big-perspective approach and say, you know what, we have a young coach, we have a young player in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Let's let this thing build and mature into something special. And that patience and big perspective, long-term view has paid off for us. So it's surreal. I spoke to my mother and father, and I just can't thank all the Nuggets fans and everybody within our organization enough for allowing us to get to this point.
I really do hope Tom Dundon and Rod Brind'Amour and Don Waddell, the Canes players and the coaches, heard every word of that. Because just like Denver, Carolina seems like they get that. And they're going to run it back. Jordan Staal says he wants to return. And the Canes say they want Jordan Staal back. He's the only top six forward that's not under contract for next year. So that's going to get done. The top four defensemen, they're locked up. Don't do anything hasty. Don't overreact. Don't blow it up. And it doesn't seem the Canes are going to. The key for Denver was having their core players elevate their game. That's what took them to the next level. It wasn't adding KCP. It wasn't adding, you know, some bench players, albeit that did help. You could shore up your roster with moves like that. No, what made the difference was obviously Jamal Murray staying healthy. And Michael Porter Jr. the same. And Aaron Gordon, understanding what his role in Denver needed to be, which is far different than what his role was in Orlando. You're not going to be as much of a scorer. We need you to help in other ways. And he was a very key player in the series, understanding his role and helping this basketball team. That's the key for the Carolina Hurricanes. You just need to challenge guys like Aho and Svech and Pacioretty and Tavo and Jacob Slavin to take their games respectively to the next level. And if all of them take elevated jumps, that is the difference between Carolina getting knocked out in the Eastern Conference Finals the way that they did and potentially hoisting up Lord Stanley a year from now. And who knows, maybe Rod Brind'Amour going to be wearing a Denver Nuggets hat as he drinks from Lord Stanley a year from now. On Twitter at WSJS Radio, if you want it on today's show, that's where we're streaming video. In addition to Twitch and on YouTube, Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show, taking your calls at 336-777-1600. WD, we finally got around to watching Outlaw Josie Wales last night. That was pretty good, right?
It was fantastic. It lived to all the hype. Now, I've only been here for like a year and a couple months. This has been how long in the making?
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
With Stan Cotton. We'll talk more about that in about 5-10 minutes and review that at the movies with the WD. And you owe me lunch.
Yes, I do.
You're not going to take 4.5 years on that, right?
No. We'll do that next week.
We finally know when number one Wake Forest is going to be playing in Omaha. And we know who they're going to be playing against. And even as they made the first two weekends look incredibly easy, the Deeks, they're going to have their work cut out for them in the College World Series. Goodness, are they. Stanford is going to be the first opponent. That is Saturday at 2 o'clock. ESPN, Saturday, 2 o'clock, Stanford facing number one Wake Forest. That is the most difficult seed they could have possibly faced in their first game in Omaha. Just like Alabama was the highest seed they could play in round two in Winston-Salem. So I hear all this about Wake Forest, oh, it's an easy path, and these breaks they caught. No, you got the 16, and you're getting the 8 in your first game in Omaha. And the Cardinal, how about the break they caught last night? Really feel bad for that center fielder with Texas, but then again, I didn't feel too badly because Texas has been to more College World Series than anybody else, and also they should have lost to my Pirates last year. I'm not bitter, though. Who's bitter? Not me. So you got Stanford in the first game, and then you got LSU and Tennessee on the same side of the bracket. LSU is viewed as many to be the second-best team in the country. Tennessee was last year's top seed. They took care of Southern Miss last night in Hattiesburg. This is kind of a crazy stat, WD. According to D1 Baseball, the number one, number two, number three, and number six preseason-ranked teams in the preseason poll, they are all on the same side of the bracket.
Staying consistent.
Number one, number two, number three, and number six are all on the same side. And Wake Forest was number six in the preseason, I should note. Whoever gets out of that side of the bracket, that pool,
they're going to be favorites in the final series. With respect to Florida, who's just quietly gone about their business as the number two seed in this tournament, with respect to Virginia as well, Oral Roberts and Tennessee make up the last two who are in this College World Series. Wake, they're going to have their work cut out for them. We'll talk more Demon Deacons when Connor O'Neill joins us in studio in about 20 minutes from Deacon Illustrated. Last night, though, WD and I, we went to Stan Cotton's Radio Ranch in Davie County. We watched the outlaw Josie Wales for the first time. So we're going to tell you about our night in At the Movies with the WD and me. Next.
Introducing the world's greatest entertainer, the hardest working man in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Connor O'Neill going to be in studio with us 15 minutes from now. We'll get into Wake baseball, some Wake hoops. Speaking of the Deacs, though, the voice of the Deacs, Stan Cotton, a wonderful host. We need to thank him for having WD and I come over last night. And 4.5 years in the making, I finally watched The Outlaw Josie Wales. WD, needless to say, had not seen this movie either. So a little bit earlier in the week than we're accustomed to doing this segment, we go back 47 years ago, which, by the way, was the first year of the Denver Nuggets' existence in the NBA, a day after they just won the NBA title. And we look at the Clint Eastwood classic, The Outlaw Josie Wales, At the Movies with the WD and me.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
I was worried about you, WD.
Why?
You didn't strike me as a guy who liked movies that were made before you were born all that often.
Oh, I grew up on Westerns before I was born. We're talking like 50s.
But most Westerns aren't as long as this one was. 2 hours and 15 minutes, 1976, The Outlaw, Josie Wales. I really liked it. I don't have a lot of holes to pick through it. But let me ask you, what did you like about The Outlaw, Josie Wales?
So I liked in the beginning there, when we're kind of seeing his origin story and how he becomes the way he becomes, I felt like I was watching a superhero origin story for a cowboy.
Well,
you see what I mean?
I'll say this. If you haven't seen this movie or haven't watched it in a long time, this is top-of-the-line storytelling without having to use words. I'm not a big fan of narrators in movies generally, or even in documentaries. I think that could be a lazy crutch where you have people saying, oh yeah, that's Thomas. He's a CIA agent. Where this happened, you kind of tell the story in dialogue. That's a lazy thing. In the first 4 or 5 minutes of Outlaw Josie Wales, the entire plot is told without a word having to be spoken. This guy's hanging out with his son, and then you have the folks from the union there tearing apart this guy's house. His wife's being ripped out of the house. His family has been murdered.
Brutal.
He's burying his family. This isn't spoiling anything because, again, it's 47 years old and it's 4 minutes into the movie. And then he finds a pistol, starts testing out the pistol. He gets picked up. In that moment, you know this movie's going to be about Clint Eastwood trying to find the people that just destroyed his family. And they didn't need to have any dialogue to tell you that story. So yes, that is a great thing to point out. This movie just is, it's off and running from Jump Street. Also, it's a movie that's kind of ahead of its time. When you think about the progressiveness of, you got a strong female role. You're talking about Sandra Locke. Like, looking good, getting it done in 1976, and then also knowing how to operate the weaponry, too.
Yes.
Kind of a badass, Sandra Locke. Sympathetic view of Native Americans in 1976. That seemed a little bit ahead of its time. And kind of like you referenced with all these superhero and action movies, really reliant on set pieces, and the set pieces are incredible. No better example than when Clint Eastwood meets 10 bears and they have their face off.
Excellent character development in this movie, too.
A lot of character.
Because it almost felt like it...
I wasn't expecting that in a Western. I didn't expect that many characters.
Yeah, well, it's like you almost like met the characters and it was like chapters. Like, remember, like, kind of the first chapter was you met the young guy that escaped with him and got
Cameron,
shot.
Who we call Cameron Smith.
Yes. He got shot.
Happy U.S. Open week, by the way. And Clint Eastwood looks like Tommy Fleetwood in this movie.
Yeah, he gets shot. He rides along with Josie Wales and then ultimately dies. And then within like 5 minutes, what was the Indian guy that Stan Cotton has a shirt of?
I forget his name. I'm not great with characters.
Right,
Dan.
But you meet him 5 minutes later, and now we meet another character. And then there was 10 bears later on. So excellent character development.
Yeah, so... By the way, you're spoiling the entire movie, WD. Jeez.
Whoops, sorry.
What didn't you like about this movie?
I got two things here.
See, I struggled with this.
Me too.
I had to think about it for a while.
Well, I didn't.
You did not struggle. No. You were complaining about something the entire movie throughout it.
Why did he have to keep spitting his chewing tobacco on the dog's forehead? See, this is like his signature move when he's about to do something. He spits... In general or at some.
He has a number of signature moves. There's that. Yes. There's I reckon so.
Yes, there's a quote. Yep.
He has his things that he does. But he kept spitting on the dog. I guess that was Clint Eastwood's version of comic relief.
Yeah.
He doesn't really seem like the most fun hang. It's like, All right, I need some comic relief. Here's a dog. Let's spit on the dog.
I didn't see any need for that. The dog didn't do anything to him. He was his pal.
Yeah. The dog, I have some issues with how the dog got through the entire movie. I don't know how. Might be right up there with Independence Day dog getting through like the large explosions and surviving. Oh, yeah.
This dog came across the whole frontier.
Independence Day dog and this dog and Outlaw Josie Wales. Super dogs in movies. Just another example of the Oscars needing a best animal performance. It'd be great. This dog deserving of that just for... The amount of perseverance to get through the entire frontier, pretty impressive. Now I'm starting to think of animals and movies that should have won Oscars. The Bear and the Revenant. Even though Leo won his Oscar for that movie, more people know that as the Bear movie than know it as the Leo movie. Hey Bear.
Didn't Channing Tatum do a movie with a dog?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Okay. Cool story. I think... This movie is about a half hour too long. That's the problem I have with it. And it goes back to the characters. Like, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes, way too long for a Western. Maybe we didn't need Little Moonlight. I know it's a funny joke when you see that the older guy is sleeping with her in the middle of the night, but I don't think we need her. Like, we already got the strong female in Sandra Locke. We already got, like, the Native American role with our older fella who... as we established, Stan Cotton, a huge fan of him. I don't think we needed her, and if we didn't have her, we could have shaved out, like, 20 minutes of this movie, and it's probably a better movie if you get rid of her.
Well, we thought we were done with her at a certain point, and then here she came.
Yeah, I just don't think we needed it. That's my note. What is the best quote you have? Really, just all the Clint Eastwood one-liners that he had?
Sure.
That you could probably go with.
But I do have one that stuck out to me pretty early, and I'd like to apologize to anybody that thinks this is crass, what I'm about to say. But
please be careful.
I will. This is from Fletcher.
Oh, I know.
There's another old saying, Senator. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Clint Eastwood, which of these are the best? I got three written down here. Dying ain't much of a living, boy. Are you going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie? Buzzards got to eat. Worms do too.
It's definitely the second one.
Are you going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie?
I love that line.
It's great.
I reckon so.
Rotten Tomatoes. Can you get within 5 of the audience score? That's the question.
I'm going to try an 82.
91. And that's been At the Movies with the WD and me, Outlaw Josie Wales, 4.5 years in the making. with Stan Cotton. Thank you for being a wonderful host, Stan. It was great.
Good cookies.
Yeah. He had cookies.
He vacuumed.
He did.
Excellent.
Nice home.
We felt like kings.
Radio Ranch out in Davie County. The Carolina Panthers continuing OTAs. Some notes. Dante Jackson, who's recovering from his Achilles injury, Frank Reich said he should be ready for training camp. That's good news, especially if you consider him to be your number two corner. In addition to that, you just have some guys who are sitting out. Marquise Haynes apparently had a big day. Marquise Haynes, multiple 11-on-11 air quote sacks, because you're not really allowed to hit the quarterback in practice, we understand. The Panthers are trying to figure out who their second edge rusher is going to be across from Brian Burns. Speaking of Brian Burns, he debuted his number zero jersey. He said that he wanted to do something new, and he also was just excited about the idea of wearing a jersey number that nobody in team history had ever worn before. And he says it kind of fits, since in the 4-3 defense, he's going to be playing more of a linebacker type role, or I guess the 3-4 defense. He's going to be playing more of a linebacker role. The zero will fit just as, it'll fit better for somebody who doesn't have his hand in the dirt as often as he did in previous seasons. When Connor O'Neill joins us in studio, covers the Demon Deacons, has for a while now, we're going to celebrate the Deacons' newest NBA champion. That's coming your way next on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
We do need to come up with another movie for WD to watch next week. Connor O'Neill can help us with that exercise. He's fist pumping to Fall Out Boy, wearing an Oriole shirt in our studio. I appreciate both of those things. Ish Smith, the newest Demon Deacon to win an NBA championship. And Connor was just telling me a minute ago that he has one Ish Smith story that's been passed down to him that's pretty good. I'd like to hear that story.
So I probably am scant on some of the details because it was told to me a couple years ago. But the gist is Ernie Nestor is a name that is very familiar with Wake fans, longtime assistant under Dave Odom, came back and had a role under Danny Manning for the last couple years of his tenure. The way the story goes is Ernie, I think, was between jobs at this point and was just kind of doing some stuff on the side. When Ish had left Wake, like he had, I think he was a senior when he made the shot against Texas, and then they lost by 30 and they fired Dino and all that happened. So Ish was a great college point guard. I don't think I'm breaking any news here. He couldn't shoot very well.
No.
For about a month, maybe two, leading up to the NBA combine, Ernie Nestor worked with Ish every single day to get him a jumper. And hence, they found him a jumper, just like Josh Hartle found a cutter for Sunday's start. They found Ish a jumper, and lo and behold, you know, 13-year career later, NBA champion, and what is it now, 13 teams he's played for, 14, something like that?
13 teams in 13 seasons for Ish Smith.
So
Josh Hartle found his cutter in the middle of a super regional, which is great. We'll talk Wake baseball a little later on.
But it's all, you know, success stories like this, they all have so many different points you can trace the success that they've had back to. One of those tracing points is Ish Smith working out with Ernie Nestor every single day for a month in, you know, April, when you're not paying attention to what's going on in basketball other than draft preview stuff.
WD, I want you to pull some sound for me that I just thought about here. Brian Scalabrine, does that name mean anything to you?
I know it.
Former NBA guy who never played in the NBA Finals. He was a bench player, but he was a ginger, so fans really liked him. So look up Brian Scalabrine NBA Finals, and there's about like a 50, 60-second clip where he is asked, how does it feel to win an NBA Finals that you didn't even play in? And we'll get to that in a second, because Ish didn't play a second in these finals. I think he played 11 minutes in the entire playoffs combined. But he's a worthy champion. 13 teams in 13 years. With respect to Jeff Green, nobody had a longer journey than he did. How many of those teams do you think you could name, by the way?
Oh, just based on process of elimination. I hope I would get to like six or seven of them before I got maybe three wrong.
Can Connor get to seven? That's the question. Let's do this game.
So I know he's on the Nuggets.
Do we get a bell for each of these? I think he deserves a bell for the Nuggets.
You got WD on a lot of tasks in a short amount of time.
Oh, I'm used to it.
He's a producer. Standard procedure. Knocks it out. So we got that one.
Nuggets. I know he was on the Wizards.
Yeah. There you go. That's two.
All right, so I'm two right and zero out of my three wrong. I'm giving myself three errors before I strike out, right? Three strikes and you're out?
That's right.
Was he on the Hornets?
That's correct. You got his last three in a row.
Oh, score!
Pretty good.
Was he on the Hawks?
He was not an Atlanta Hawk.
Really?
Mm-mm.
One of those former Wake guys was a Hawk.
Mitt Shaw, what are you doing?
Yeah, Mitt. Come on.
Jeff Teague was a Hawk at one point.
There you go.
John That's Collins, right. of course, right. was a Hawk.
All right. I know JC. I interviewed him when he was with the Hawks. Oh, gosh. Sixers.
That is correct. That's four.
Let's go. Let's see.
He had two stints with the Sixers.
Okay. He had to spend some time on the West Coast, right? Like, was he a Clipper?
He was not a Clipper.
Oh,
all right,
man.
We're at four. Can we get three in a row here is the question.
I've lost my steam.
I only see one team that's good that he played on.
Was he on the Thunder?
Correct. That's five.
Was he on the Pistons?
That is correct. That's six. Can you get one more?
Was he on the Cavs?
He was not a Cavalier. The other teams were the New Orleans Pelicans, the Phoenix Suns, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Orlando Magic, the Golden State Warriors, and the first team he played on, the Memphis Grizzlies, and then the first team he played on was the Houston Rockets.
So I should have just gone backwards and said, like, all the teams that were pretty bad in the early 2010s, but then have gotten good lately, like the Suns, the Bucks, the Warriors. You say Warriors?
Yeah, the Warriors. Yeah. Monte Ellis, Warriors, back at that time. Did you find that sound of Scalabrini?
Oh, I have it.
Let's hear Brian Scalabrini after the Celtics won a title, and for some reason he is doing a podium interview.
Last question here before we finish up with the Lakers.
Brian, congratulations. I'm from Europe, from the Netherlands, where we're all interested in soccer, but I enjoyed the final so much, and this game was very great. But how is it for you, watching it from the sideline, not able to play even one little second in the finals? Is that hard?
Why would you think that's funny? I'll tell you, it's not that difficult to do because guess what? In like, maybe now you can say, yeah, I didn't play a second. But in 5 years, you guys are going to forget. In 10 years, I'll still be a champ. In 20 years, I'll tell my kids I probably started. And in 30 years, I probably told them I got the MVP. So I'm really not too worried about it.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Congratulations.
And he walks off stage. Ish Smith, 30 years from now. Tell people you
finals MVP.
You won the finals MVP. This guy's an all-time deke, man. Like, really, he was the point guard that had to replace Chris Paul. That's not a fun task. You're probably the front-facing player when Skip Prosser died. That's not easy either. And on top of that, you did a lot of winning. You were number one in the country when you were the point guard in 2009. And he just... It was announced last year he's going to get inducted in the Hall of Fame. He's an in-state kid. Steve Forbes posted that letter from 20 years ago this week. Skip Prosser initially reaching out to Ish Smith. It's just awesome. It's an easy guy to really root for.
Yeah, and again, I haven't talked to everybody that was around Ish when he was at Wake. A lot of those people were gone before my time, but I have not run across a person who has a bad thing to say about Ish. He seemed to be a genuinely well-liked guy, a genuinely authentic guy. So you're happy for guys like that.
I want to find a feel-good movie for WD to watch next week. Not a thinking man's picture like, you know, our guy, Ian Eagle, who's going to be in Winston-Salem as the National Sportscaster of the Year from CBS later this month, might suggest.
WD needs more of a thinking man's picture.
Not one of those. I'm thinking comedy because last week WD said, Adam Sandler was a bit of a blind spot for him. He had seen Happy Gilmore, but I think you're 0 for 5 on Click. Big Daddy.
I haven't seen Big Daddy.
You haven't seen Click.
I'm not sure. I know that I understand Click. The concept of it.
Don't watch Click.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen
Waterboy.
No.
Billy Madison.
No.
Yeah. Don't watch Click.
Just Mr. Deeds.
No.
What's
wrong with Click?
It's the most predictable movie ever.
It'll make you cry.
It's so predictable.
Yeah. Okay. Any of those movies mean something to you?
I don't know. The Waterboy is probably my favorite out of that list. Billy Madison's a little bit out there, kind of ages poorly.
I looked up a movie that came out 20 years ago in the spirit of that Ish Smith letter. Old School.
Yeah.
WD?
No.
That's
tough. I'm sorry. I didn't get that right.
Well?
Yeah. That's tough. If I'm just going through 2000s comedy classics, I worry about this. Step Brothers.
Love that.
Oh, good to know.
Good.
Superbad.
Not sure.
Well?
You would know if you saw Superbad.
Okay.
How about Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Well?
Mean Girls?
Also a not sure.
You gotta watch Mean Girls.
What?
I'm not sure if I've
How
seen
How are you
it.
Not sure you've seen Mean Girls? You either have or you haven't.
You gotta watch Mean Girls and you gotta watch
Bridesmaids. It's Rachel McAdams and it's Lindsay Lohan. They're in high school.
I'll go with...
Well...
Bridesmaids and Mean Girls. Make him watch both of them within the next, 2 months.
He hasn't seen Bridesmaids, I bet, either.
Well...
See? I do like... I think we could put this out to a Twitter poll. Bridesmaids. Okay? Because I like that. That's the most... recent example that we can bring up. I think... What do you think between Superbad, Step Brothers, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Oh, you said Mean Girls you choose out
mean
of
Mean Girls in there, too.
Yeah.
And I've seen Step Brothers.
You've seen Step Brothers.
That's good.
I would get...
I'm going to throw Old School in there because it's 20 years old.
I would get Forgetting Sarah Marshall on there.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're cooking with gas. So, Bridesmaids... Mean Girls, Old School, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Those are the four movies that we're going to narrow it down to, and we'll put it out on the Twitter poll, and then the audience will decide what you're watching. Or at least they'll have a say.
Yeah, this is a democracy.
Which of those four would you choose first?
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Mean Girls, Old School, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Or I said that twice. Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids, Mean Girls, Old School, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Probably Mean Girls.
Okay.
Mean Girls is so quotable and memeable.
Like Independence Day?
Yes. Welcome. Not as quotable as... Nothing is as quotable as Independence Day, but...
Welcome to Earth.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Josh is out of his mind in just a minute. This is an opportunity for you to spew some hot takes. If you have some sports opinions that you need to get off of your chest based on things that might have happened in the last week or last few months, it's just been stewing. 336-777-1600 and an incentive for you to call in. If you call in and give us a hot take, something that WD and I both deem is a hot take, you can win your choice of tickets to go see either Dierks Bentley this weekend in Charlotte, Clint Black next weekend in Winston-Salem, or Brooks and Dunn in Greensboro this weekend. Those are your choices of shows, three different country shows in three different cities. Call us now with a hot take, 336-777-1600, and a pair of tickets will be yours for either of those shows, any of those three shows. And while WD gets to the phones on that, a programming note that we're very excited about for later this week, we just got word from the office of the governor that Roy Cooper is going to be our guest on Thursday's show. Now, why Thursday? Why come on at all? Well, tomorrow, the governor is going to sign into law the sports wagering bill that has been circling through the NCGA for quite some time now. This is an issue that we've been talking about, and it will be signed into law tomorrow, and the governor of the state of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, will be with us on Thursday to talk about that bill. 336-777-1600. If you want to see Dirk Bentley, Clint Black, or Brooks and Dunn over the next 2 weeks, it's time for Josh is Out of His Mind.
Josh is out of his mind.
Crazy fool.
Just tell him stories.
He's out of his f***ing mind.
WD, show the people how it's done.
So the Miami Heat, all reports say today that they're expected to be aggressive in free agency. And they should be.
Got pretty close to winning a championship.
They did, and I think it might be time for the scrappy, undrafted player era to come to an end as far as what you have beside Jimmy Butler. Like, give him an actual star. So a lot of the reports out there today are saying that Damian Lillard is a favorite or is a top possibility. I'm actually going to go a different route here. I think Trae Young is going to join the Miami Heat.
Okay, how?
Well, they do have, I believe they have some draft picks at their disposal.
Yeah.
And I think there's some potential tradable contracts there. And Trae Young has been...
You do this thing that bothers me.
What do I do?
You keep... It, you know... Ah! Like, Dame Lillard's tradable because the Portland Trailblazers, it makes sense for them to trade Dame. He's older, they're not winning. Why would Atlanta trade Trae Young?
Well...
Hold on a sec. Just hit the drop real quick.
WD
is out of his mind.
Because it sounds like I am.
But no, you are. You are out of your mind. But I'm talking like logistically. Well, that's the part I'm trying to understand. Why would this trade ever happen?
Well, a few months ago, O'Connor was saying that Atlanta...
Kevin O'Connell is the coach of the Vikings, so I could see how you make that.
He was reporting something about how Atlanta was maybe having the green light in the front office to trade Trae Young potentially.
Is that right?
I mean, that's what I read a report from April, something like that.
Well, then question asked, question answered,
and Trae,
if they are shopping him.
And could you imagine?
Okay.
Because Jimmy Butler's edgy.
Yeah.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder. And Trae Young, you know, you remember some of those back and forths he had with the Knicks a couple years ago. He's edgy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine
those two? Leave with that piece of it. Hey, why? Well, Kevin O'Connor reported this a few months ago. Okay. Question asked, question answered. None of this. Well... You know, I just like to see it.
Well, that's
usually where we default to in this.
Well, and there's some sports gambling sites that had him as a favorite as well. Roy Cooper.
He's
going to make that happen for us.
Send me that Cash App, family.
Right. Send me that Cash App, family.
I have an NBA take too, actually. Usually, when the finals are decided in whatever sport, you have the way too early odds for next year that come out. And people start wondering, they start forecasting who's going to win the title a year from now. The Nuggets are your betting favorite to win because they bring back all five of their starters. They're actually, their top five, their five starters are under contract for next year. But Denver's not going to win the finals next year. The Charlotte, just kidding.
Oh my.
The Boston Celtics.
Oh.
Are going to be your NBA champs next year. And here's why. Like Denver, they've been knocking on the door. Do I have something I can make a knocking sound with?
Boston.
They've been knocking on the door. Went to the finals a year ago. This year lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think with a healthy Jaylen Brown, who doesn't have to wear a face mask and deal with a hurt hand, and Joe Mazzulla getting to actually hire his staff, they're going to have a better year than they had even a year in this past year. And they were pretty darn good this year. And they're the team that's going to burst through and be rewarded for not firing their coach and be rewarded for standing by their nucleus and continuing to go with that the same way that the Nuggets were rewarded after being knocked out of the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs, a year ago. The Boston Celtics
are going to be your 2024
Boston
NBA champs?
Josh is out of his mind.
Give me one more on the way out.
Listening to Adele, or trying to listen to Adele, gives me a headache.
Whoa!
That is a hot take, I know.
Whoa!
WD
is out of his mind.
Her is this because we were listening to music in the office today?
Her voice is obnoxious to Whoa! Try and listen to.
Whoa!
Let me hit it again.
Out of his mind.
It's hot, right?
Whoa!
That is hot, right?
Where did this come from?
My headache.
We were playing the Adele Tiny Desk in the office today.
I couldn't stand it.
Wow, it was after... I think 19 came out, or I forget if it was 19 or 21 that had Rolling in the Deep on it. Wow.
I have tried to give her a chance.
This is confounding.
It's hot, right?
How does it feel to like move your mouth and make sounds in the English language that have never been made before? Saying things with your lips, such as Adele's voice gives me a headache.
WD.
I feel like other people have said that.
Hurts. Like, it hurts my mouth. I can't even... Wow!
I have tried to give it a chance. Like, songs like Hello from the Other Side.
Not a big fan of that song.
But
I'll give you
just,
that.
I don't know. It's something about when she really hits those high notes. It's just like, oh, it hurts.
Whoa.
It's so obnoxious to listen to.
I need to reset.
It's painful.
I need to regroup.
I knew that would get you.
I'm hurt.
I'm sorry.
Did you like the other songs that we're playing? I think we had
Randy
the
Travis.
Avets, Randy Travis. It was a weird combination of Kesha performing with Old Crow Medicine Show.
I love Kesha.
They were together, though. Old Crow Medicine Show and Kesha performing together. That was an interesting mix. Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You're in on Swiftie, right?
I'm not a Swiftie.
Whoa.
Not a fan.
Whoa. The Adele commentary, though. My left arm is shaking. I don't know. Wow. Someone like you doesn't get it done for you.
No. It hurts.
Kill the music. Just kill the music.
Are you about to send me an Adele song to play?
No.
To upset me?
No. You don't feel something when you hear.
Annoyed.
I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it, and I hope you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me, this isn't over. Never mind, I find someone like, really, this doesn't do anything for you. This
see,
is beautiful. This
you
is
know,
poetry.
You know what it is? It's not the lyrics. It's the sound she makes when she's
Whoa.
Singing.
Okay, man.
I can't.
We need to... I can't continue with this segment. I don't even know if I can continue with this radio show.
I blew it up. That's how spicy that take was.
Where's the hip-hop air horn? I need it right now. Whoa!
Yeah.
You're on the drive with Josh Trail, WSJS. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too.
A short while ago, Will Dalton said, not only does he not care for Adele's music, he said, and I'm quoting here, I went back and checked the tape, her voice gives me a headache. It's incredible. Like saying a sentence that's never been said in the history of the English language, like using your voice to make a collection of sounds that have never been put together that way before. Hayes Permar joins us now. We'll play Skips or Plays with Hayes. Since we rely on you for music expertise, how bad is that take that he hates Adele's music because it makes his head hurt? Or do you have a music take that is equally as controversial?
I'm sure I do. I don't have one off the top of my head that says controversial. I actually... I don't agree with his take, but I don't think it's as terrible a take as you do. Adele, like, you know, because her hits were so strong and if she felt like a movement at times, but overall in her career, I feel like she's, she, like, Amy Winehouse, I think, was better. And there was somebody else that somebody said recently was like, yo, with this album, you got to say that this person is better than Adele. And I can't think of who it was, but maybe by the end of the interview, I'll think about it.
Like someone this year, really, like right now?
Yeah, somebody who...
SZA?
Somebody... Yes, Lizzo. That's exactly who it is.
Oh, I said like Lizzo, right now, but SZA. Okay, I said SZA, but Lizzo. Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, Lizzo has, like, surpassed Adele's career at this point.
Whoa.
You got more bangers and, like, more fun, and you'd rather have her do a Super Bowl. And, like, I realize that Adele almost tries to, like, position herself as, like, a Celine Dion, and, like, she only drops in and does some pop music every now and then to give us a hit. But, like, I just... If we're playing the old Sports Channel 8 game, rightly rated, I think I got to put her in the overrated category.
That's incredible.
So he agrees with me.
No, I don't think he agrees
with
you. His head doesn't
hurt.
She's
not trash. She's not trash. She's talented, and I enjoy some of her music, but she's a little overrated. She's good at moments. You know what I mean? Like she can put out a song that they're making Saturday Night Live skits about. You know what I mean? There's something about her. She's got an aura. But as far as like an overall resume, she may not stack up with some people that at first you'd be like, no way. And then you'd have to be like, oh, well, actually, I may be right.
This might be a giveaway for where we're headed with Skips or Plays with Hayes in a second. But we've got three different concerts that we're giving away tickets away for. I was waiting for a David Tepper drop there. When it comes to all these concerts we're talking about.
You know, with concerts.
There it is. Dierks Bentley.
Josh Graham brought music to the Triad. People.
That's right, yeah. Dierks Bentley is going to be in Charlotte where David Tepper's at.
You know, with concerts.
And that's this weekend. Clint Black is going to be in Winston-Salem next week. And Brooks and Dunn's going to be in Greensboro this weekend. That's probably where we're headed with our Skips or Plays with Hayes. Your chance to win tickets to those shows a little bit later on in this segment. In a couple of days, we're going to be joined on this show by the governor, Roy Cooper, to talk about some news that'll be made officially tomorrow, where he's expected to sign into law the sports wagering bill we've been talking about for quite some time. Hayes, have you begun to thought what your first sports bet is going to be, assuming that it's legal in time for the NFL playoffs?
All right, hold on. First of all, we have to back up, and I might have to bring in Will Dalton here to back me up on this. It's one of those moments in the show. Now, Josh Graham presented that as we're bringing Roy Cooper on to talk about gambling. The reality is Josh Graham is bringing Roy Cooper on because he's tired of seeing Roy Cooper make appearances on the North Carolina Rabbit Hole and then another radio station and then like a podcast even. To the point that Josh Graham was like, wait a minute. I deserve some time with the governor. I've got clout in this state. And he had to find an issue to bring him in on. But Will Dalton, will you agree that the interview with Roy Cooper is less about talking sports gambling and more about affirmation of Josh Graham as a now 5-year run in the Triad? Can I get
you know what? I think you might be onto something there, Hayes.
Can I tell you the honest truth? Can I tell you what it honestly is? We were supposed to have him on before the North Wilkesboro race about a month ago. And this is a makeup.
Theory may hold true, but, so what will my first bet be? I don't know, man. I'm more of a house always wins kind of guy. I don't, now that the government's becoming the house, gambling may just be something that I just get out of altogether. It's kind of like it's like the bar that everybody's going to, and so now it's not cool anymore. I'm afraid that gambling, like weed, is suffering from this too. It's so legal now that it's not cool to like duck into a room of people that smoke weed because they're just walking around the streets doing it. So. I might be out on gambling. I will not be placing bets.
Cash out, family.
Before we get Skips to Plays, one more thing. Which movie should Will Dalton watch for the first time? There are four options we have here. Old School, Mean Girls, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Bridesmaids.
Man, all right, it's tough. It's a great movie, but Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's a great movie, but it's not one that you got to get on your I've seen it list right away. Same with Bridesmaids. man, those other two, I feel like you have to have seen both of them, and it is a tough call as to which one. It is so close, man. I could spend another five.
WD earmuffs. WD earmuffs for a second. He doesn't know what that means. Oh, wait, he did take his headphones off. I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is.
What?
I'd say maybe Mean Girls gets the edge on the you have to have seen this movie, but, like, it's almost a dead heat. Just watch them back to back.
There you go. Now, let's play Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's the friend of Satan.
He was like 06, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
Mike and Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Okay, WD's going to throw three songs at Hayes Permar, and he will decide if it's a play or a skip, or I guess I should say a skip or a play. Where are we starting, WD? Actually, let me ask Hayes Permar this question. I know it's Dierks Bentley, Clint Black, and Brooks and Dunn, you know, songs that we're going to play here. Dierks is in Charlotte. Clint Black is in Winston. Brooks and Dunn's in Greensboro. If Hayes Permar could attend only one of those shows, which one is he going to?
Well, that's a good question. Now, have you ever heard the great sports channel theory that, like, because those are where those three are playing this weekend, but, like, 2 weekends from now, Dierks Bentley will be playing Wilmington, Clint Black will be playing Fayetteville, and Brooks and Dunn will be playing Blowing Rock or something. I don't know. Like, so we used to have a theory that the country people all chip in and they just own a couple Airbnbs located somewhere between like Pinehurst and Johnson County, North Carolina, where like they could all just like rotate, like, oh, I'm doing Raleigh tonight and then Winston and then Charlotte 2 weekends from now. And they're all just like trading off playing everywhere. So we like to think that they're all just staying together. I'm going maybe tough between Clint Black and Brooks and Dunn. Give me Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn. Let's go.
Excellent. Where are we starting, WD?
We're going to start out with some Clint Black, Killing Time.
You were the first thing that I thought of when I thought I drank you off my mind. When I get lost in the liquor, you're the only one I find. If I did,
who is Clint Black married to?
That's a great question.
I think
he made a cameo on Wings, one of the greatest shows of all time. So,
no, I'm thinking Lyle Lovett. Sorry, I've got
Lyle
Lovett.
Lyle Lovett was married to Julia Roberts.
That's right. I got those two mixed up.
I can't think of like my all-time favorite Clint Black song, but this is a play.
Hayes Permar.
Yeah, that's probably like his biggest hit. Yeah. Probably. Like the Rain is excellent.
Like the Rain, that's, yeah.
Yeah. I also think, I like when, like, he was part of the Hey Good Looking crew with Alan Jackson and Jimmy Buffett. That was a fun cover. Okay, what's the next one?
We're going to move to Dierks Bentley. What was I thinking?
Skip.
Whoa. Permar, he didn't even consider... Whoa, he didn't even consider that he'd go to the Dierks Bentley show
mean.
And then skipping what was
Hated
I thinking?
It.
Wow,
Hated
couldn't even get it off
Hated
the ground.
It.
That was mean. I should have listened to him, but I don't think I like this guy. Actually, maybe I do.
Hold one second. How about we just listen and give it a chance?
All right.
He came out of waving that 12-gauge. We tore out the drive. He peppered my tailgate. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew.
What happened?
But that crossed my mind a little too late. Cause I was thinking that a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man. Just gotta get going where the night might lead.
I
know what I was feeling.
Great song. Permar doesn't
like it.
Maybe
he's not as bad as I think. And I think he actually showed up and played at the International Bluegrass Festival. You know who I really don't like is the... Who's the Rain makes corn makes whiskey guy?
Yeah, that's bad.
All right. Maybe I was a little harsh on Dirk's because he's like new and I don't like his name. But it's still Skip. I'm sticking to my guns.
It's excellent. You're talking about Luke. You're talking about Luke Bryan, who I can't stand.
He's the worst.
Bryan is a good thing. Okay, what's the last one we got
all
here?
All of his songs.
We're going to finish up with some Brooks and Dunn.
Give it to me. It's got to be one song. It's got to be.
Red Dirt Road.
Yes. I was raised off of Route 3, out past where the blacktop ends. We'd walk to church on Sunday morning, race barefoot. Hold 1 second. ISO, Jimmy Butler. 1 second. It's where I first saw Mary, holding that roadside picking blackberries. That's it. ISO, done.
All right. You know what? I didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it.
You won't.
I'm skipping it. I'm skipping it.
Whoa.
Only because Josh Graham said it had to be one song, and if I thought it was going to be one song, I would have gone with Neon Moon.
No.
So I don't really hate the song. I just hate that Graham's got it as number one. So that's his fault. He made that. I hated it.
Hated it.
It's just in the office. WD, I know why he chose this song. In the office, I walk around and just randomly the song gets stuck in my head. And I say, that's when I first saw Mary.
Yeah.
On that roadside picking blackberries.
He does.
It's like walking around. That's it. That's it. Very limited Ronnie Dunn. That's the only impression I got.
Yeah. Neon Moon like helped define 90s country. I feel in a way that Red Dirt Road, it's a good song. In any other circumstance, we're playing it, not skipping it. But if you told me that I only get to hear one Brooks and Dunn song for the rest of my life, I'm taking the Neon Moon.
Hey, Spermar, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thank you, guys.